There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Wiemy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. And today I have Jody Bach with me. And you guys, she is somebody who I met probably, a little over a year ago down in Dallas. Jody, you are somebody that I had started to admire from afar, right? Saw that you were continuing to kind of step up your game. And it was something that really stood out to me as something that I'm like, I need to know this woman. So here we are today, and I get the privilege of interviewing you, which is amazing. And I get the gift of being able to listen to it as often as I want to, which is even better. So how are you?
I don't know if it's good or not.
I know. How are you, my friend? How are you?
I am well. It's hot in Fargo where I live today.
I know. Isn't it a gift when we are used to the cold?
I love it. I actually love the hot. I'm not a fan of cold, and yet here I live.
No, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I lived in Fargo for 4 years.
You did?
I did my undergrad in Fargo. And so who goes north to college? I don't know. So our conversation might bring out my Fargo accent. So we'll see what happens in this. But Jody, I want you to give our audience a little bit of insight into who Jody is. I want you to take this opportunity to brag on yourself a little bit, because it's going to really give you some street cred when we go down this next step in our conversation. So who are you and what do you do?
You know, that's such a good question. And I've been working on that question for a long time. And I feel very much right now in the space where I can actually own it and answer it truthfully. I've been on a journey, as we all are, for my whole life, obviously. And recently, like I'm saying, within the last year, I've finally started owning who I am, not just what I do. I've always been identified by what I do. Mm-hmm. I've been a basketball player. I've been a journalist. I've done a lot of things. And then I've gotten stuck because I act as if a person who is like that is supposed to be.
Yes.
What I've told myself, right?
Yes.
So over the last year, I am starting to step into my power, which I identify as internal. Mm-hmm. Where force is external.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning, and by the way, Lichelle, let me tell you about a book I'm listening to right now. I'm not kidding you. This is like in the last 2 weeks. It's opening up so many new avenues for me because I am learning about myself that I have never had a female mentor in my whole life, career, basketball, anything I've ever done. I've only been led by men. Not a bad thing about this, but I'm listening to a book called How Women Rise in the last 2 weeks. And it occurs to me that everything I've tried to be in my life is because I've been led and guided by a man.
Huh.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
Yet all these little things that I felt like I had to shave off the corners of me, I had to fit into somebody else's box, was, I think, subconsciously because I was trying to be like the boys, you know, be like the guys.
Yeah.
And so just recently, I'm starting to really step into my own space about who I really am. And who I am is someone who is committed to creating conscious communities by inviting dialogue. And I'm using each of those words really specifically.
Yeah.
I do that in a lot of ways, but that is what is most important to me in the world right now. Creating conscious communities by inviting dialogue.
Oh,
my
gosh.
We can go into more detail about that.
Yeah, I would love that. And I'm taking all of that in, Jody, because I think that what I want to point out here is that I can relate so much to the labels that we place on ourselves, the labels that other people place on us, and who we think we have to be. And that's kind of when we start to notice that we feel stuck, is that when we have this longing and discontentment within us, right? But it doesn't make sense because I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to have air quotes right now. Like, I'm the person that they tell me I'm supposed to be. I've done all the things. I've checked all the boxes. But why am I feeling this way? And it's because I haven't stepped into who I actually am.
Can you identify that feeling? Like when you say I feel this way, this is what's hard for people, is to put words to that feeling that mm-hmm. you're identifying, because I'm recognizing that a lot of people feel that.
Yeah. You know, I guess the best way for me to do that is probably just to tell a story, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I went to college for a really long time to do what I do for a living in my career. And I did all the things that I was supposed to do. But I never really felt like I could be me. It was like the next thing that I had to do in order to chase after who I thought I was supposed to be, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And so here I am in this life, a good life, make a good living with amazing people who are like me, air quotes, right? But it's not who I am. It's who I thought I had to be. And I'm looking around and I'm feeling really lost and I'm feeling really alone, because all of a sudden I realize that I've been to school for a really long time to do what I'm doing. I'm surrounded by all these amazing people, but I'm not actually letting myself be me. And I'm alone and I'm not in my tribe. Because my tribe is actually the people that I'm allowed to be myself around completely.
So you have a feeling about what that is. When you're allowing yourself to be you completely, you know that distinction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's almost like I felt like I was having to put myself in this box, and I had to behave and think and act in a way that was consistent with what somebody in that box would say, do, feel. Right?
Do you think anybody did that to you, or do you think you had that impression yourself?
You know, I do think that it was probably something built over time. So I can go back to like myself knowing that I felt like I didn't quite fit in when I was a kid. I didn't look the same as, in my opinion at the time, beautiful as my friends. I was odd or smarter than maybe some people around me, and so that was weird, so I better not do that. But then I started to recognize that maybe that's not a bad thing, so, and maybe I can overcompensate for my feelings of not being good enough by like really working hard and doing all the things that I'm supposed to do to succeed.
Yeah,
right,
totally can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah, but all the time I'm kind of just playing this role and not really letting myself be me. And so I get to this point, this longing and this discontentment. And I think that what's interesting is that sometimes, and this is for me, it's my faith, right? But I think that God understands who we are before we know who we are. And he starts to give us these little things that come before us to give us breadcrumbs, to pave the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even though I felt like I was doing all the things I was supposed to do, there was something inside of me that knew that I wasn't allowing myself to be the true person who I was. And so what he did for me was he gave me these tiny little breadcrumbs, which actually led to me starting a business. And in starting that business, I had to start showing up as someone. And who else are you going to show up other than yourself when you're trying to get people to get to know who you are because you're growing this business? So the business was actually the catalyst to give me permission to all of a sudden start to discover who I was. And then what I found is that those people started to be attracted to me. Right? And then all of a sudden I discovered, like, holy crap, like there's a somebody inside of me that's been dying to get out. And then all of a sudden I'm realizing there's people around me who see it too. But then I also got to the point, and I'd love to dive into this a little bit with you, because I think that sometimes what holds us back from really stepping into that is the fear of what other people might think. And the fear of all of a sudden now I'm not going to be staying in this box that I've put myself in, or other people have put me in, or I've given other people permission to put me in, right?
Yep.
And so now all of a sudden I'm fearing this rejection, because all of a sudden these colleagues that I've been around with and in my mind kind of played a part to become that person, to be accepted.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing all of a sudden, like, holy crap, I'm not this person. I don't want to be in this box anymore. And I have to face a rejection of all these people, right, that are around me.
But isn't it funny that we people hold on to that picture of those people who are not who we want to be,
right,
anyway, because we've had a mask on, we've been fake,
yeah,
to these people, and then we're upset with them for rejecting us when we take off the mask and right, become who we really are. It's kind of oxymoronic,
is
when
it?
You think about it.
Yeah.
They can't be around you. They can't. It's like two different wavelengths. it's not even a choice at some point. When right. you think about it energetically, when you take off the mask, funny that we talk about
right.
masks, when you take off the plastic of who you thought you needed to be,
yeah,
you can't, I think energetically, scientifically, it's like they can't coexist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny that we are upset at what we've been tolerating for so long
right.
when we get real. And you said that when you take off that mask, you have all these people that are like, oh, you're my people. Yet you go back to your life that you thought you should be.
Right.
And you don't fit.
Right.
But that's kind of the point.
Right. But it's uncomfortable. And I think that so much of us wants to stay comfortable, right? And there are people who are listening, Jody, who might feel this. They might feel, just like you said, don't know how to put it in words. Mm-hmm. But there's this longing and there's this discontent inside of them that they know that where they're at right now is not where they're supposed to be or not where they're supposed to be forever, right? But they're scared. Right. They're scared of the rejection of what other people might think of me. The people that are close to me that I've stayed in this box for might not be there for me. And that's so scary.
Here's the thing. They're probably not going to be.
Yeah.
And what other people think of you is none of your business, mm-hmm. Jody. What other people think of you is none of your business. And I had to really think about that a lot because it occurred to me that I was spending a whole lot of time worrying about what other people thought about me, which is really selfish when you think about it.
Right, because it's not about you.
I know. And here I'm letting them hold on to all this stuff that they're not thinking about me.
Yeah.
And then I had to get to this place where I understood the distinction between my reputation and my character. My reputation doesn't belong to me. It belongs to all those people who are talking about me. Mm-hmm. And they're saying whatever they're saying, but I have no control over that.
Right.
I just can't. However, my character is 100% my responsibility. I need to act in such a way that whatever they say about me says more about them than it does about me. Mm-hmm. Because when people talk about other people and they talk negatively about other people, that says more about them.
It does.
Than it does about the person they're talking about.
Absolutely.
So for me, that was very freeing because then it allowed me to go, okay, so maybe this will be uncomfortable, yet the familiar discomfort that I'm feeling, and I'm calling it comfort, is not worth it anymore.
Right.
There's a cost and a payoff.
Uh-huh.
And the cost is too great. I've been thinking that I'm getting this huge payoff, and it's not anymore. It's shifting. And so taking, yes, to your point, it's going to be uncomfortable. Yes, because it's unfamiliar. And we think we'll choose... We call it comfort and it's not. It's familiarity.
Right.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah, our comfort zone is oftentimes the most uncomfortable feeling ever because you're stuck in there and you're afraid to go outside of it because it feels unsafe. Hmm. But on that edge of where our comfort zone is where the beauty lies.
Yeah. And we know all this in our heads.
Right, right. Yeah.
You and I have been studying this and we can say this all the time.
Totally.
Because we're theoretical and we get this. But for your listeners... The place you feel when you feel that, I'm going to call it angst or
yes.
longing or that discomfort or that restlessness. Mm-hmm. I think it was Thomas Edison who said, restlessness and discontent are the first necessities of progress.
I love that.
And think about that, because if he, being the creator of all the things he was the creator and inventor of, if he would have been content and okay with the gas light, we would have never had electric lights.
Right.
I mean, we probably would at some point, but not in his lifetime because it
right.
was okay.
Yeah.
We were good. We didn't need anything else. It was fine. But he had some kind of restlessness in him that said, I'm not content with the gas light anymore. There's got to be a way to have this differently. And for him, that restlessness pulled him to become the inventor of the light bulb.
Right.
And so he says it's the first necessity of progress. People got around fine on horseback until Henry Ford said, there's something else. There's got to be a way to do this differently. And we were fine. We didn't need anything more than mm-hmm. horses for a while. Horse and buggy was fine. And then something happened.
Right.
And
you think about that.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to just say that you've mentioned two very famous people who have changed millions and millions of lives. Right. And so if they were to feel that angst and they felt that longing and discontent, but they ignored it, they would miss out on blessing so many people. And that's what I want to remind all of us to do is that when we take a hold of that comfort zone and we push down that angst and that discontentment and that longing, we're being the most selfish version of us that we can possibly think of, because we're robbing people of the blessings that we can be able to provide once we step into that space.
Yes. And if that occurs to you, listeners, as, well, who do I think I am? I'm not good enough. It could never be me. You are never given that idea without also being given the way to have it be born.
Yes.
You just want to know it. It's like ideas come to people. You're a reader.
I love books. Okay. Listening, reading, all the things.
Well, this book by Elizabeth Gilbert, Big Magic, was so good a couple years ago when I read it, because she was telling actual stories about her own life.
Yeah.
And she had this idea to write a book. And the book was very specific about, I can't remember the details, about oil and gas in Central America. And it was very specific.
Yeah.
And she got into the writing of this book, and it was going to be a romance and blah, blah, blah. Well, she let it go. She didn't finish it. I mean, that's a pretty specific idea.
Right. Yeah.
And a few, couple years, maybe a year or two later, she had a friend who was talking about this book she was writing about this oil and gas in the middle of, and Elizabeth Gilbert said, but that was my idea. Wait a second. How could it be that specific? Because the idea needs to be born.
Yeah.
That's why when people say, well, I thought of that first. Well, you didn't do anything with it.
Right.
So the idea has to go where it can be born.
You know, and I think that when you have been given an idea, and I believe this very much so, that we're given an idea by our higher power, right? And it's within us. And and it's when we're in our creative space and when we're open that that idea can be born and blessed and planted into us, right? Yes. And you said that when we're given those ideas, we're giving that feeling, that pull, we are also equipped with what we need along the way. That doesn't mean that you are given the entire blueprint. God doesn't hand you a book and say, Jody, I want you to change people's lives by having dialogue and open up consciousness in a community, and this is exactly what I want you to do. But he gives you these little pieces, these little tools along the way. Now, I just listened to The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, like mind-blowing. But I don't know if that book would have done what it needed to do a year ago, 5 years ago. It was given to me at the exact moment that I needed it to change my life.
Yeah.
And so remember that you are going to be equipped as long as you're open enough to be able to see the little breadcrumbs that you're given. And so I want you to kind of tell us, because you're right, like there's all these theories, right? People can listen to people like you and I who read books and we talk about all these things, and we all know these things. We know these things that we should do, but we can't actually do them. So I want you to tell us how it is that you've gotten to where you are, because I look at you and I'm like, dang, that girl is on fire.
Well, externals may not always reflect what's going on internally.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things to remember for all of us, don't try really hard not to judge your insides by what you see as other people's outsides, because it might not be fair. It might not be right. It might not be true. And so when you see somebody else, remember that there's another part to them. There's another story to them. I did the Landmark Forum in 2003, which was really transformational work for me. It was digging in and, you know, going back to stories that I told myself. And so I've been doing this work for a long, long time. That doesn't mean that I'm ever done.
Right.
But it means that at that point, I really realized that I was good at faking my life. I was really good from the time I was little at faking my life. Once you get good at faking your life, after a while, that becomes your life.
Right.
And so for a long, long, long time, probably not when you met me, because I was on the path of authenticity then, but I was, people would say, but you've always been so good, or you've always been so aware. Yeah, no, I was a good faker. So the outside might not always reflect what's going on in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, there came a point, and I can remember signposts. You were talking about breadcrumbs and looking back. And if you look back on your life, you really are. We are all given those little breadcrumbs. And you can go, oh, that's why I had to do that. Oh, so that's why I met that person. Oh, so that's why I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things, if you're really listening to that higher call and that higher self, you're going to see exactly what you said, which is you're given everything you need in divine timing.
Right.
And so while I wish that he would just go, here it is, Jody, here's the thing. the more work, and I hate to say work, but the more work I do on myself, the quicker the awareness has happened. So really, it does. Once you're on a path to higher awareness and consciousness and authenticity,
yeah,
it in my experience, at least, it gets easier mm-hmm. to listen to those calls and to trust.
Yeah. Take us down your process, I guess, for stepping up into who you are now, because you said that before you were a good faker, right? Mm-hmm. And that the last year has been transformational for you.
Yeah.
Tell us what changed.
Okay. I know. I do know, because again, I've done this work. So please don't hear me answering these questions quickly and go, oh, God, you're supposed to know this when they ask those hard questions. I've been doing the work, so I know the answers for me
yeah.
and what they were. And even knowing that restlessness that you were describing, that little angst, even knowing it in your soul and heart doesn't always mean that I take the action I know to take
right.
quickly.
Right.
So that's the first step, is to just recognize the angst, recognize that, oh, here we go, here's another shift coming. And that can be a way to open it up a little bit more. So for the last couple of years, I know there's something else coming. And I've been aware and watching and not trying to force it.
So that's hard.
The thing.
Yeah.
Yes, right? Because I know there's something here and I know it's going to be good. And I also recognize when I'm stuck and can't do it myself. So back about November of last year, mm-hmm. I hired a coach to help me.
Okay.
And she helped me identify untrue core beliefs that I already knew were there, but I had forgotten. And so she just came in. It's kind of like she's shown a flashlight on some of those things, and
yeah.
we talked through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the story, because it's kind of a funny story. She lives in Phoenix. And we were in a Denny's restaurant
yeah.
in Phoenix having breakfast before I was flying back. And she was helping me through this. And I'll never forget this. I was mad because I knew I was hitting that wall. Mm-hmm. And I said, so you just think you can do it? So you're smarter. And I was just getting all
yeah,
weird
yeah.
on her. And I
yeah.
said, in the middle of me saying, I said, don't leave me to her. I said, you know what's happening here. This is not me. This needs to come out. Please
yeah.
don't leave me. And she said, I'm not going anywhere. I can just see her going, bring the popcorn. This is awesome.
Right.
And because I trusted her and because she was helping me through it, I needed to go through that holding on to the old mm-hmm. awareness and letting it go. And for me, it was, I don't want her to know something I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I was blaming her, I think, in looking back, for knowing something I didn't know.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, oh, you think you're so smart. Oh, so you have it all figured out. And this weird language was coming out of me. And I was just like, don't leave. And she didn't. And what was really odd about that whole interaction,
yeah.
we ordered breakfast and the server came over to take our order. And I know my ears were probably red. I was probably like,
yeah.
And the server took the order, came back to give us our food, and it was not our order. It was the wrong order. And we looked at it and went, I don't think that's ours. And she turned and tripped and fell and dropped the whole plate. And I mean, you hear people dropping things in restaurants. I mean,
yeah.
it happens.
Yeah.
But it's never happened to me. I've never, ever experienced that myself. And I thought, ooh, that's weird. And so then the poor lady picked her stuff up and left.
Yeah.
And then a couple minutes later, a gentleman came over and gave us our food. And it was our food. And by then we were calm. You know, I was calmer. I'd
yeah.
worked through it. And it occurred to me that my energy in that moment could have been what caused her to be mm-hmm. so flustered. And in that awareness, I went, okay, how often have I been having that effect on people and blaming them for what I'm bringing, for what I'm creating, for what I'm not expressing? Because if it's in me and it's not coming out, it's still in me.
Yeah.
And I expressed it very obviously
yeah.
at that moment.
Yeah.
And I felt so sorry for that lady that I had done that to her. But when she came back to give us our check, it was as if nothing had happened.
Wow.
She laid the check down and just said, I hope you had a great breakfast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, lady, you just totally dropped. Oh, I'm so sorry. But that will be very transformational for me, that story and that lesson. Because in November of just this last year,
yeah.
right before 2020, when everything was supposed to be so clear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
2020 was going to be the year of amazingness. And that was my entry point into this next level of awareness for me. And there have been a lot of other things since. When you're forced to slow down and you're forced mm-hmm. to be in isolation and you're an extrovert who gets energy from other people,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of time to think things through and you have a lot of time to center and get real, I guess.
Yeah.
So I did that, and through 2020, I've journaled everything. So I have it all down. I know exactly what was going on when, which I'm really grateful I did.
Yeah.
And about 2 months ago, I hired a marketing coach. And I think you and I, you know him.
I do. I've worked with him informally.
Oh my gosh, it was the best thing I've ever done in my whole life.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yes.
He allowed me to take the mask off and get rid of the plastic and get rid of all of the fake. And I'm in the middle of the class now, so I'm not done. But that's what people are attracted to.
Yeah.
Because they have, we all do, a need to belong, right? Where's my tribe? You said it earlier. Where's my tribe? Where are my people who are attracted to the real me?
Right. Because then you feel like you're home.
Yeah, and they do too.
And do you find, though, I got to ask you this, because do you find that in this transformation that those people, because I know that you have a tribe, you have a group of you that meet on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. I have three different.
So what I'm wondering is that as you start to evolve and as you start to grow, do you ever fear that you're going to have to shed yourself of this support system that you have? Or are you finding that there are some people who just, like, you're magnets to one another, where you know that your true soul and their soul are in alignment and walking through this journey together?
That's where faith comes in. So what I'm finding is interesting for one of the three groups that I've been part of for 12 years, that shifts. Because again, right alignment doesn't happen all the time.
And
there comes a point at which if I'm being real, and because I've put my light under a barrel.
Yeah.
Many times because I feel like I'm going to be too shiny or too, but that's when I'm not being real.
Right.
And so as I go the way I go, I don't have any attachment to what other people decide anymore.
Yeah.
And if they choose to be there, great. If they don't, okay. And I'm really getting clearer on the difference between yes and no.
Tell me about that.
Well, think about that. Here, I'm going to draw something. I'm going to describe what I'm drawing. It's two circles that intersect.
Okay.
One says hell yes, and one says hell no. And I'll show this to you. In the middle of the intersection of the hell yes and the hell no is hell.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So if we don't make the decision, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no. And if it's not a hell no, it's a hell yes. We have to be that clear on what's yes and no to us. Because if we don't, we're in hell.
And how do you know that? It's just a feeling, like in your gut, like you just know.
It's got to be a feeling in your gut. It's got to be resonant. So what I'm doing, this is my process. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but I'm really clear that the process to decision for me, decide means to kill off, decide. What I'm learning is very few people ever make decisions because they keep their feet in both camps. And they have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D.
Right.
So we've never been taught how to make a decision and then not look back. We just don't know how to do this.
Right.
And so I'm working on deciding, which means this is what is. This is who I am. I'm not going back to who I used to be. That's still a process.
Yeah.
But that whole process of decision for me, before I get to the point of killing off the other options, has to be a discernment process.
Right.
And to me, discernment is a lining up of my intellect, my knowledge, the facts that I need to get in something. I call that my intellect, my intuition, which is my heart and my connection to infinite intelligence, and my instinct, which is my gut. And I have to line up all three of those eyes, intellect, intuition, instinct. And when all three of them line up, it's a hell yes or a hell no.
I love that so much because I want to give people permission to make a decision, to move forward, to evolve, to recognize that there's going to be times where we have to shed ourselves of a layer. We have to shed ourselves of maybe the people around us, but trust that the things that are going to be in store for us ahead of time will be given to us. And so if your shedding includes your tribe, a new tribe will come in to take its place and to trust that process.
So think about this. The tribe that you think you've been part of when you've been trying to be something you're not has been attracted to whatever that is that you've been trying to be. And it could be that they've been trying to be. And you've got this group of triers now, right?
Yes.
We've all been trying to be something.
Yeah.
And so our energy is parallel because we've all been trying. And I know it seems scary because it's familiar and you have people around you, but the trust and faith comes knowing that there's this whole new tribe waiting for you to shed that layer and go, yay, Michelle, I'm waiting. As soon as you shed that layer, yeah. we're all here. And,
yeah.
and then everything can be supportive of your journey, and then you become supportive of their journey, too.
Right.
It's a very copacetic relationship. And there is that layer of trust and faith that has to come in,
yeah.
because it is like, I'm going to be by myself, and I'm going to be, and you might be for a while. You might be.
Yeah.
It might be a lonely journey for a while. But when you think about connecting with your true self, your higher self, mm-hmm. it's not, you're never alone. So there's really no big risk in it.
Yeah.
It's much more risky to stay stuck in something you know isn't true.
Absolutely. And you've said that, you've talked about discernment, which I love so much. And you talked about how, you know, there are tools and things. And for you, it was your a couple of the coaches that you've used, and you're being that for other people. And so I want you, before we part, I want you to give the audience one question to ponder this week so that they can really think about what it is that you brought to the table right now and how they can move forward.
So here's my favorite question that I give to people as something for them to hold on to. You might not have the answer right away. So hold on to this question and just kind of ponder this. And the question is, what's missing in my life that if it were present would make a positive difference?
Mm.
What's missing in my life that if it were there would make a positive difference?
I love that.
It could be people, it could be awarenesses, it could be understandings, it could be a new car, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is,
yeah.
what's missing that if it were present would make a positive difference?
Just
ponder that. Don't try. Just allow.
Yeah. We're going to do this again, for
okay.
sure. Like, I need you to unpack things for us again and again. But if people can't wait for that, I want to know, how is it that they could follow your journey, how they can get a hold of you if they want to work with you? Tell us about how to reach you.
The best way right now is if you're on Facebook, find the Get Real Circle. It's Get Real with a period after it. And you can ask to be let in if you're not a friend of somebody already. That is where I'm kind of putting all these people right now till I'm ready to announce my next course, my
yeah.
next journey. And that's coming. I'm in, I hope by September that'll be ready.
That's
and
amazing.
People can see the new, it'll be a new course and a new coaching package. So that's the first place. I also have a new podcast as a part of that, which is called Circle Up and Get Real. And you can find that wherever you find podcasts. And that's interviews with really cool people. I'm so excited. I just landed another interview with, remember I told you about that book I'm reading right
yeah.
now, How Women Rise.
When, yeah.
Yeah. How Women Rise. Sally Helgeson is going to be on my podcast.
That's amazing.
So yeah, it's funny when you get into this space of accepting and stepping into who you really are, people are just waiting to say yes to you.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
Oh my God, I love
so,
it.
Yeah. Facebook is also a way to find me. Jody
All
Bach
right.
with two E's. I'm pretty out there.
Perfect. Oh my gosh, Jody. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your insight, your vulnerability, and to giving people hope and practical tools to get unstuck and live their most amazing life. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking, Michelle. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. And if you know that you are made for more and you are tired of being held back and ready to get unstuck and step boldly into a life that you're meant to live, head on over to LachelleWeamy.com, request an appointment, and be ready for me to walk alongside of you personally to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. I'll be back next week, but before you go, don't forget to hit subscribe and enjoy these imperfect outtakes.